We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, a problem with the high school basketball tournaments. Not what you guys think of what Lima accused me of earlier in the show. If you want to hear that, you can go back to around 7:20 and hear that on the free Rewind feature on the free Odyssey app. However, Major League Baseball, Lima, they came out with their predictions for the divisions. Your Cleveland Guardians are predicted to finish second in the AL Central with an 83-79 record. Would that be satisfactory to the fans? I want to ask Anthony Castrovince about that. Anthony Castrovince is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from MLB.com and MLB Network. Anthony, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy opening week in MLB.
Same to you. Would 83 wins be a very nice season for the Guardians?
I think given the circumstances of doing absolutely nothing over the offseason and you know, playing so many young guys, et cetera. Yeah, I think that would definitely be a success. What do you guys think?
Well, I would say, yeah. I posted that on my Facebook, and Facebook's a different animal, but I like to do that for an obvious reason there, Anthony. And I had some people going, absolutely not. Absolutely. The division's garbage. Obviously, the stuff about the Dolans. And I go, well, I, with everybody being down, 83 wins, yeah, I'd be second in the division, but one, I'd get a chance to look forward to 2025 because that means some of the young guys that they have are hitting. And two, I'd be feeling better about Steven Vogt. And the third part about it is that, hey, it would keep people interested at least for the entire season because 83-79, you're going to have people's attention.
Yeah, it's kind of like two different questions, right? I mean, is that a victory for the organization as a whole? I would say no. Is that a victory for the guys within that room, you know, within that clubhouse for Steven Vogt? I would say yes, yeah. You know, so it's kind of two different things. I think with what they have, you know, going for them this season with again, there's going to be a lot of trial going on yet again on the field this season with some young pieces. And I would not call that a victory for Jose Ramirez specifically because I think he deserves better. I think for the better part of that room, for that clubhouse, that would be a win.
I know, Anthony, there were some concerns over the last week about who was actually going to be on the roster. It's always an interesting time for fans around Major League Baseball, but it seemed like one of the more exciting players and prospects the Guardians have, Chase DeLauter, not going to be on the team. How significant is that, or is this just business as usual for the Guardians and what they do?
Well, it's kind of business as usual for baseball where this guy, you know, he's barely played professional baseball. You know, he was hurt and he didn't start till I believe mid-June last year. So he's got, what, like, you know, 60, 70 games in the minor leagues. So, but he definitely made an impression, man. And for those who don't know, like, he wasn't even in big league camp. He was like what they call depth camp, which is kind of a new thing. And I can never say it without sounding like I'm saying death camp.
I thought that's what you said, but I didn't want to say anything.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. It's a totally different thing, yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't even big league camp. It's 57 games in the minors, by the way, if you're scoring at home. So, yeah, he's barely played, you know. So I understand holding him back. I don't think this is one of those that fall into the category of service time manipulation, that sort of thing. I think it's just generally speaking, like, this guy's got to go out and play a little bit. He's played six games at double A, you know, so I understand wanting to see more from him, you know, just from a game rep standpoint. But yeah, I mean, he really, if eyes weren't open to him before camp, he definitely made that happen with the tremendous spring training.
So it kind of became
more than a depth camp kind of thing, because he started playing like virtually every day. Every day I was around the Guardians, he was in the lineup.
One thing I always wonder, because in the NBA you get guys that are just undeniable and they can play instantly, like a Victor Wembanyama. How much more would he have had to do? Is there anything he could have done where he would have been on the roster opening day?
I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, they have guys ahead of them in the pecking order of who they need to see, you know, who they're maybe running out of time with in certain cases, you know. It's just the nature of the beast, where you got to see, you know, they traded for Estefan Florial over the offseason. They got to see him. They committed to Ramon Laureano. They got to see him. They've got Will Brennan ahead of DeLauder in the, you know, in terms of age and experience and just basic pecking order. So I don't fault them for holding back DeLauder. I would just say, though, if he gets off to the start in the minor leagues this year, that is reflective of what he did in the Cactus League, I mean, he's going to force the issue pretty quickly. Because I don't think this outfield shouldn't be terribly hard to crack.
Now, they did move on from Miles Straw, and I saw what the payments are still owed to him. He cleared waivers, yeah, accepted his outright assignment to AAA in Columbus. Was that surprising to you?
It was surprising that they, you know, cut the cord when they did. I just figured they'd, at worst, roster him as a, you know, fourth, fifth outfielder type. I expected that he'd continue to be the starting center fielder. He had an illness in camp that kind of held him back. But I think, you know, it's kind of like this is maybe part of the new regime, too, where, you know, it's different sets of eyes upon you. And, you know, it's not like them to eat money like that. We know that. But, you know, I think he pretty clearly asserted himself as one of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball over the last couple of years. And in fact, by some measures, he was the worst qualified hitter in MLB the last 2 years. So, you know, that should be a pretty short leash. I think on a really good team, Miles Straw is a really nice complimentary piece, you know, coming off the bench. But they weren't that last year, that's for sure. And, you know, he was up. It was kind of maddening for how many times he just happened to be coming to the plate in some very clutch situation. So I was surprised, though, that he's not, you know, he's not on a roster as an extra man, as a bench, you know, bench piece at most or at worst. You know, they obviously went a different direction.
Anthony, does that signify a dramatic sea change with either the organization or with the staff? Because there were some saying this would not have happened if Tito was in charge.
You know, sometimes these things happen. There's a lot of continuity in this organization, but I always think back to when Mark Shapiro, you know, handed the reins off to Chris Antonetti, and they made that midseason trade for Ubaldo Jimenez when they were, like, you know, barely in contention, but made a pretty stunning trade of top prospects for Ubaldo Jimenez at that point. And yeah, that was a move Mark Shapiro said he would not have made if it was his call. He was still with the team at that point. So that's just an example that comes to mind where, you know, there is sometimes a change within a static organization. And, you know, it is different. There are some different eyes that come in on this coaching staff, Stephen Vogt obviously being the most prominent among them. I haven't talked to Stephen Vogt about, you know, Straw or this situation in particular, but it would not surprise me if that, you know, it's just different voices in the room, or maybe the voices that, you know, Tito kind of overwhelmed in the past are no longer overwhelmed, you know? That's the nature of the beast, where there's different people in the room.
Anthony Castrovince joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Castrovince. I'm going to get back to the Guardians here in a minute. I got to get to the bigger issue with Major League Baseball. What do you think we're going to hear from Shohei Ohtani today, as he's expected to address the media about this whole gambling business?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I would not be surprised if it's continued to be the storyline of the interpreter was, you know, using his money to place bets, you know, or cover debts. I'm not with those guys. I don't know Shohei Ohtani personally. None of us do. but MLB is investigating it. They launched that investigation on Friday, and I'm glad they are, because, you know, questions need to be answered. Anything associated with gambling, we need to get down to the bottom of, because you can't have players, certainly you can't have players involved in betting on baseball. You know, bets on other sports are a less serious issue. There's nothing about Shohei Ohtani's personality that would indicate that he's some kind of, you know, closet gambling addict and you know, really tuned in other sports. I don't think this guy, from what I've, you know, gathered about him through the years, I don't think he knows anything in the world but baseball. I think he's so just invested in his career and how he, and so I can't imagine pitching, hitting, and worrying about the spread in some European soccer game, you know. That would be hard for me to fathom, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So I'll be curious to see what he says today. I think we all are. And I think we're more curious about what the investigation uncovers, if anything.
I mean, if he were to be like, because a lot of people are just going crazy because it seemed like the stories couldn't get straightened out over the last week.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
We'll see if they do get straightened out. I'm like, man, if he were to be attached to gambling at all, I mean, wouldn't this, is devastating the right word for it? I mean, my God, it'd be terrible. I mean, he's arguably the biggest name in baseball.
Well, if he's attached to betting on baseball, that's terrible, yeah. You know, but I don't see any indication of that. And I don't know. There's no indication that Ipe, his translator, was involved in betting on baseball either. Betting on other sports, we've seen that in the past. And we know, I mean, gambling is amongst us. You know, sports gambling is very much amongst us. And, you know, players are like anybody else. They view sports through that prism many times. It's something where as long as, you know, you have to go through legal channels is the issue. And this is not a legal channel with this bookmaker in California.
Anthony Castrovince giving us a great breakdown as we get closer and closer to the real, legitimate baseball season getting underway, not just what we saw in South Korea last week. Kenny is a huge Diablos Rojos fan out of Mexico. He's been talking about them for years. So
when he got a chance
to see Trevor Bauer pitch yesterday against the Yankees, what did he go, 3 scoreless innings, mixed reviews on how good he looked or where the fastball was. So is there a way that he gets back into baseball? He's never really been charged, arrested, you know, found guilty. Is there a chance we see him again in Major League Baseball?
Well, you know, workplaces, I'm sure your organization has different standards than the legal standard. You know, mine does. They all do. And that's what I would say to that. MLB investigated Mr. Bauer pretty thoroughly and spoke with multiple women. And, you know, there's a lot of things in that file from what I understand. And I don't see a big rush towards signing Trevor Bauer. Do you guys? I'm not picking up on that. He certainly expressed some desperation on that end. And
some people have asked us about, like, well, could he ever come back to the Guardians? I'm like, man, that ship sailed along.
Oh, yeah,
even without any of this other stuff that he was accused of that they obviously didn't find anything on. That ship has sailed with this organization, I believe. And, you know, the return that I think other teams could get, you know, I don't know. If he continues to pitch well, I mean, he did have his name drugged through the mud. Would a team be willing to kind of take that chance on him? I'm not sure. I'm still not sure now, because I think Major League Baseball, I think all professional sports have kind of kept guys out for far less.
An arbitrator upheld the longest suspension in the history of that policy. I don't know what else to say about it. Teams have access to that information. And that's, you know, an arbitrator upheld by far the longest suspension under that policy. So with all due respect to the keyboard warriors out there defending Trevor Bauer, I mean, I would not feel comfortable defending somebody if I don't know all the information, and I don't have all the information. I just know that there's enough in that file, in that case, that nobody has touched this guy. And so he can go pitch for Mexico, Guatemala, you know, Antarctica. He can go pitch wherever he wants, but he's not affiliated with a major league team still to this day. And I would have to imagine there's a pretty good reason for that.
All right, Anthony, we like to do this from time to time, so we hope you play along, put you on the spot. We do a little thing. We like to power rank and like to know.
What are you doing?
I'd like to know right now, Anthony Castrovince on 92.3 The Fan, as he appears on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Power rank the teams in the division right now. Where do you have them? Where do you have the Guardians? Let's go.
I'll put the Guardians at 2. I'll go Twins, Guardians, Tigers, Royals, White Sox. That's my order.
Is that a wild card?
No, that's not a wild card. There's just too much talent in the, you know, in the West and East. But I do think that we're all hung up on the opening day roster, which is natural. But I think this is a particularly this season is a particularly good example of how a roster will evolve over the course of the year. And I think this roster is going to evolve quite a bit. I do think there's actually some stuff beneath the surface that, you know, were I a fan, I'd be more excited about their position player cast down on the farm than I've been in some time. It's been a long time since they've gotten much impact on the position player side, but I do think there's potential for that this season as the year evolves. The opening day roster, not that exciting.
Will Shane Bieber, I don't know why I said you, will Shane Bieber be on the roster at the end of the year?
Well, if I'm on the roster, that means Shane Bieber is off the roster and a lot of other people too. I'm going to say,
He took longer to do this. Right? There we go. Here it is.
Well, I think he's going to have a good season. And then so that next year your mind goes down the road of, well, they got to capitalize on the trade value. And will they be in it enough to justify keeping him and, you know, getting draft pick compensation? Or will I think the trade value would probably exceed the draft pick compensation. So it becomes a whole thing. But it's so hard to say because, look, last year they were sellers and then buyers within the span of a couple of weeks, right? And I got, you know, the money was a lot different and what they're giving up was a lot different after, you know, after the main trade deadline, you know, to make those waiver claims from the Angels. But it's still so hilarious to me that they were a game out when they were sellers and then they were five games out and suddenly they were buyers. So it just goes to show, like, predicting this stuff months out is difficult. It's hard enough to predict it, you know, days out in some cases. And I think they're going to be just on the fringe enough to make that a difficult equation.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, MLB Network. Hey, by the way, Carlos Carrasco being the fifth starter, is that a sign of how good he is or how much help the Guardians need?
Probably more of the latter than the former. And I love Carrasco, and I'm excited that he's back. And he's got a lot to prove. He's dealt with a lot of injuries in recent years and that sort of thing. So I think he probably still has some left in the tank, but obviously the circumstances, you know, a lot of things kind of fell in his favor to make this roster. First, there were injuries in the bullpen. So he had a clear path to a bullpen job. And then the Gavin Williams thing midway through camp, you know, clears the way for an opening day rotation spot for him. So it'd be great to see him make the most of it. You know, obviously a beloved player in that clubhouse.
Anthony, thank you very much for the time, friend. All the best. We hope to get you again soon.
Likewise, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Anthony Castrovince on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Castrovince.
Kind of mosey right on in.
What a baseball man you are.
It was awesome.
It was. Listening to your stories where people were like, he doesn't care. I'm like, man, he's been to more baseball games than any of you guys combined who are complaining.
He has attended a park where games are being played.
Yes. Yeah. But again, you can go there all you want. Don't mean you're paying attention to what's happening.
I attend a ton of games.
Owen crushes us.
I pay attention to a third of those usually. But a lot of that is right field.
Yeah, that's awesome though. I mean, that's part of what going to a baseball game in the summer is all about. Where would you rather
be? I have one of my best friends owns a boat. He takes that boat out every weekend. They spend a ton of money on that boat. They go out to the islands every weekend. Good for him. I do that much. I just do it over at the ball field.
See, this is my this is the difference.
I'd like to do that too, if you can get me an invite.
This is the difference. Is I don't like to stand at the bar.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So I don't like to go there to the bear. And I just loved sitting in a chair hopefully the weather's okay. That one time you and I went to a Guardians or an Indians White Sox games, and remember it was like in the sun it was okay, but if you went to the shade for like 2 seconds, it was just freezing ass cold. But I like to sit in the sun with my arms crossed and just take it all in and just rock back and forth in my chair and look at it. So I got eyes on everything going on. And especially now that the games go quick, I mean, you can't take your eyes off.
Awesome. It does help. I know there was a lot of concern. Yeah. We talked about that like crazy last year. And I think in the end it worked out. I think we were all wondering how it was going to look and if it would change come playoff time. In the end, I think it worked out for baseball a lot. I think they're a little worried about probably selling alcohol and food.
But they did try to figure that out. They did also push back start times on Sunday because of that. They went to 140 starts instead of 110. And it gives you an extra 30 minutes that the gate opens, so you still get in there earlier if you want to. No. If you're there to consume, you still have an opportunity for that.
It's true.
Now, we may have had issues with other start times in some sports over the weekend.
Oh, really?
What are you saying?
Yesterday, 8 o'clock, D1, Sunday night.
All right, you want to bring this up now?
Sunday night. Prime time, baby.
So I got a little bit of hell over the weekend because I think some people just heard what they wanted to hear when we were talking about it on Friday about the high school basketball tournament down in Dayton. The reason I said to leave it in Dayton, I've only been to Dayton, Ohio one time in my life. Do you have to go through Dayton to get to Cincinnati? I don't think you do.
You got
to
go through Dave Chappelle's farm.
So I've been through Dayton. I've been to Dayton one time in my entire life, 37 years, one time for like 2 hours. And that's it. I got no affinity for Dayton. I don't know about Dayton, whatever. I got nothing against them. I'm not defending Dayton having the championship games. I think it would probably do you a little bit better if they were to start those damn things on a Thursday and play the Saturday, but either way, whatever. My whole thought of it was, I can't sit there and rip and take it away from Dayton when I'm one of the people who are very defensive over the games being in Canton. Like, nobody wanted to hear that part of it. I don't know about the games in Dayton. They seem to like their basketball down there. I think they'd do you a hell of a lot better of a service if they played the game at a reasonable hour at a reasonable day instead of Sunday night at 8:30 for high school basketball. This isn't the NBA Finals people were kind of put out on a Sunday. For the love of God, you're playing high school basketball at 8:30 on a Sunday? Fix your sport. Fix your sport. I'm serious.
I do feel bad. Here's where I do feel bad. You're right, Kenny. Like, Dayton, in terms of like an actual basketball arena, it's way better. It's way better for the intimacy of the state championship than Value City Arena, which is unless LeBron is playing or unless, you know, Jared Sullinger and soon to be Ohio State Buckeyes are playing, like it looks like a cavernous area. You would never want to have like real, real drama and jam packed stands. And unfortunately, we have been getting smaller and smaller crowds. I think somebody posted last year what the crowds were looking like over time. More people are streaming at home. More people are watching at home than ever before.
Three of the teams are from the furthest corner of the state that you can come from for that.
Yes.
Three of the champions, I should say. Three out of the four champions. And also, like, when I watch that semifinal game that you'll never let me hear the end of it for as long as I live with Shelby and Maysville, which I'm sure someone's going to throw that in my face during coming in hot later this week at 9:40. Well, I watched that. It looked like the lower bowl was full. Mitch was at the game. Mitch was at all these games. Mitch, the Maysville-Shelby game. Am I wrong? Were there a lot of people at that one?
There were quite a few people there to the point where the second level was actually getting pretty packed. The rest of the games didn't have that.
So when you have, I mean, Richmond Heights is a public school, but it's D4. And it's a small community here where, like, Shelby, you know, Richmond Heights is next to Cleveland. You have Shelby as far as I know, it's where? In the middle of, what's it, north of Ashland? Like, can I find it on a map right off the top of my head? North of Ashland, right? It's west. Shelby's west. The Whippets. I know that, he's Googling. He doesn't even know where the hell it is. So then you have Maysville. Maysville's where? In Zanesville?
It's north of Mansfield.
Okay, it's north of Mansfield.
And, yeah.
So, this is what I'm talking about. These are small towns where everybody's going. We're going to lose some of that. We have Richmond Heights that it's a very small community. And then you have parochial schools. Lutheran East, small school. 300 and some odd kids go there. You have St. Ignatius, small school. Not a lot of people go there. Like, when you have these small schools that are parochial schools or something like that, like, it's, You're not going to get as many people at these things. And when you're playing it on Sunday night at 8:30, like some people are going to be put out with it. And I will just say again, for one more time, is I'm a person who's a big proponent of playing all the high school football championship games in Canton, Ohio. I really thought it was kind of cool when they split them up and played them in Massillon and Canton, but obviously now with the redo of the stadium, that's never going to happen again. So I'm a big proponent of playing all the games in Canton, and I will even tell you, like, yeah, it seems to be cooler like when Kirtland's there, and we just so happen to have a lot of state champions in Northeast Ohio here when it comes to football. Really, we're just an embarrassment of riches in sports around here. But it's you get more people there because you have the public schools, basically, and that's still a hard thing to do, but I can't go ripping Dayton and say they shouldn't have it, even if it were at the historic St. John's Arena.
Now, it had been in Columbus for like 50 years.
Yes, it had.
So the Dayton thing is a new thing.
Yes, it had been. But there was also, for 50 years, did you have a streaming service where I think it's, what, $10 to watch it? Did you have where a lot of people still have basic cable or basic spectrum or basic the app like they do? Where I told you, the reason I started watching the Shelby Maysville game is that it was the, I turned on the app, it was the first thing. Oh, I said, what the hell? Let me knock myself out here and watch this game. So I think that plays into it as well. If you have more chances of people just to stay home. We brought up baseball stadiums. Everybody's Daryl was bitching about the signs and about all the stuff that was out there. Well, baseball stadiums are shrinking. What's the reason baseball stadiums are shrinking? Less demand. Not as many people are going. You could stay home. You could watch the games. Is it any sort of a weird coincidence that the Guardians still have this incredible TV ratings where we still struggle to have a bunch of people in there?
Yeah, and I mean, the reality is, and this
feels
always
free, you watch it at home.
This always gets touchy when we talk about public schools, private schools, how schools are assembled. Obviously, more public schools than ever before are open enrollment. But I think we know the reality is, like, it's the towns that bring the big attendance, especially the smaller programs. When their entire town, public school town, can come to a game, like, that's when it gets jam-packed. They're always going to do better than the parochial schools that just don't have that community feel.
Exactly.
I mean, I think we understand that. Now, they're trying to mitigate the advantages of that, and now next year you're going to have how many divisions in boys basketball? You're going to go from 4 to 7? Is it 7, Mitch?
It's the same as football here, yes.
And look, some of these, I mean, they could probably have the state championships in a small high school gym going forward. I mean, they're not going to do that. So it's going to change. It's going to dramatically change, and I don't know if it's going to change for the better. I know we're going to award more state championships, and we're going to feel really good in our communities. Hey, we won a state championship, when in the past only 4 programs were able to achieve something like that. So now you're going to add 3 more championships and probably games that are going to be even less attended.
So that's the only defense I can make of it. I don't wish any ill will against the fine people at Dayton, Ohio. I'm sure there's no one listening down there, but still. I got nothing against them. I got no reason to take it away from them. What's done is done, and I can't make that stink because my town, Canton, Ohio, hosts the football, and I'm sure that they're not very thrilled about driving up from Cincinnati and Springfield and all the other stuff to play their high school football up here. So that's the reason I just don't make a big damn issue about the Dayton thing. Now, you've been down to the state championships numerous times down in Columbus. If you want to make a big deal about
it,
you go right on ahead.
Used to go yearly. I just like that.
I ain't going
to
be the guy.
I just like that it was central, that you had people from every part of the state, you know, making pretty much a similar drive to get there. And then, of course, the bar scene. Bar scene was always better in Columbus. And that mattered.
I mean, you can drink doing a lot of things, Tone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there's nice bars in Dayton, Ohio. I've never been to one.
I told you. I wonder what Jake Diebler's thinking. Andy Baskin got a chance to talk to him over the weekend. I gotta pick Andy's brain on that because he was doing sidelines for Spectrum. I want to know what Jake Diebler thinks because he said he met his wife at Value City Arena. It meant a lot for him to win a state championship there. And how does he feel about all those games just going down to Dayton? And Dayton's got the better program right now.
Hear about that during Baskin and Phelps. Up next, coming up next here on this show, there are reasonable excuses. We just can't accept them anymore. And Mitch, please. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan. These are reasonable excuses. Darius Garland has been playing banged up all year. Evan Mobley is out. Max Strus is out. Donovan Mitchell is out. All reasonable excuses, and you will accept none of them. Absolutely zero of them at the end of this season. It will not happen. By the way, spring practice underway in Columbus, so make sure you get the latest from Nick Wilson and Spencer German potato salad on the new Sons of the Shoe episode. Plus, here a special goodbye to the coach that's departing from the team up north. They're doing a goodbye to
Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard. Well, now
Now I got to listen.
Mitch, I don't want to tell you how to run your segment to make the show better, but you might want to find that for Mitch, please, at some point. Is that an idea?
I can search for it if you need.
Well, we'll find out at some point. Maybe you don't want to. It's okay. It's your segment figure out to make the show better.
You get to do what you want.
Make sure you guys subscribe now at 923thefan.com or on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I look at this and go, yeah, they're injured. I can't use it anymore because of what happened last year and the year before.
Well,
that's why.
It's not even really important whether or not you, the fans that are listening, everybody is obviously not happy about what's happened over the last few weeks. And since the All-Star break, they really haven't played great basketball. They pulled some games out of their – you know what? I mean, the Max Strus game
to say that
against Dallas.
That's okay.
They had some unbelievable wins. The Minnesota win was incredible. These games, you had no – you needed a technical foul on Rudy Gobert. Yeah. Max Strus, you needed him to go Steph Curry over the last 3 minutes of a game and then hit a 68-footer.
Yeah.
Okay, but the reality is it really just matters what Donovan Mitchell thinks, right?
Yes.
And unfortunately, he can't even help the cause because he's not healthy. So we can talk about, hey, Giminix, fine. All of us can just collectively give them a pass. That's not going to matter. That's not going to matter to Donovan Mitchell.
If I give them a pass and they lose in the first round, you will not accept that, and then you will call me out and call me soft. I know how this operates. I know how this goes.
But it won't. But what I'm trying to say is, bigger picture, it won't matter. The only thing that matters to Donovan Mitchell is this team closer to a championship after this year than it was 2 years ago when he got traded?
The wins and losses over the last 10 don't matter then.
Probably not. And seed-wise...
No, it really doesn't.
I know you're looking at me like I'm deranged.
I am.
Seed-wise, it might help them if they lose more games.
Get out of here.
Like, depending on the matchups...
You're going to hammer me with that. You better hammer him with that, too.
It seriously might not matter seed-wise. Think about it. Look at the standings right now.
You're both out of your mind.
Okay, just listen to what you just said.
Who do you want the Cavs to play?
I better hear that later.
What team do you want the Cavs to play in the first round?
I want them to play Orlando.
No, you want them to play the Knicks.
No,
you did say the Knicks.
You
before.
Did say bring on the Knicks.
The reason I said to bring on the Knicks is because
you
I was mad at the Cavs and I wanted to.
Can't change it now.
I wanted to expose
you said
them.
It on the air.
I wanted to expose them as frauds.
I just heard it on the Today Show. They said
now
you
I'm
said
just trying
the
to win. Okay, that's all I'm trying to do.
Okay, if you want them to play the Magic, then you want them to keep losing. You want the Magic to keep winning.
No,
for a 4-5.
You got to pick one, Ken.
God. Well, I guess I would.
It's just impossible to know.
Yeah, it's impossible.
All I'm saying is right now it's impossible to know. Remember, I thought there was a chance we could play the 76ers. Well, as of today, the Sixers are the 8 seed. So if the Cavs actually go on a winning streak and they get the 2 seed, and depending on what happens in the play-in, they could play Philadelphia in the first round if they get better. Do you want to play Joel Embiid, a well-rested Joel Embiid, who they say is going to be 100%?
No, I do not
like,
want to play
so that. So I'm saying just worrying about seeding right now makes zero sense.
That's absolutely true. I think they're valid excuses that we simply cannot use, because if I sit there and I go, guys, they're hurt, then you're going to call me out on that if they go out there and they lose after April 14th. Mitch, please. It's where he found some audio to make the show better. I don't know. We hit a lot of audio today. I don't know if that's going to happen, Mitch. Go ahead.
You didn't get to this clip, which was from the post game of the Kansas-Gonzaga second round matchup from this past Saturday. It was head coach Bill Self talking about the Jayhawks' 89-69 loss to Zaga. And coach Self had a bit here that I was kind of surprised by here. Take a listen.
Interesting. Well, I think for the last month I've been thinking about next season, to be honest. Not in the moments during the game, but, you know, obviously we played – we had 8 guys on scholarship and we play, I mean, that were healthy there late, and, you know, injuries are part of the game. So that's not an excuse, but we could have done a much better job as a staff, putting more guys out there that we could play. And so that's something that I've thought about for a long time. And the thing about it is, in basketball, early on, you can play through some things, but the course of a season, there's a grind that goes with it, and bodies get run downs. Injuries occur. That's all part of it. And when you don't have as much firepower that maybe you've had in past years, it certainly showed this year.
So anybody that watched any of Kansas this year,
what was the point of that?
Will tell you. I can tell you. He's throwing his players completely under the bus. He basically said, "I've been worried about next year the whole time. I knew this team wasn't going anywhere." Remember, he had to suspend, or what happened with his best player? McCullers.
Yeah, they weren't going to have him for the tournament.
I don't understand what happened there. They're being, you know, really, really vague on it.
Yeah.
But he's essentially saying, yeah, I was thinking about next year this whole time. I do wonder. I can't believe he admitted that. I do wonder – with the NIL situation and transfer portal,
yeah,
how many of these coaches are so obsessed about next year that they do lose sight of the given year if they don't think they have really much of a chance?
So you like this audio? You thought it made the show better?
I it's so rare you ever hear a coach admit that.
So yes to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it.
I didn't really get much out of it. I guess so.
Jerry is split.
Focused on Shelbyville.
No, it's Shelby, and they lost to Maysville on Saturday. So I'm not focused on them. Good luck to the Whippets next year. I'm sure they'll bring back a hell of a squad.
If the people in Shelbyville don't send a Whippets hoodie up here,
it's not Shelbyville. It's Shelby. You're gonna have to make a big one, a special one for me.
A Mangino sized one.
That was a joke. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. I guess so. Mitch got it right. There you go, Mitch. It's another guy in the long line of coaches throwing their players under the bus now, because now that the players make money, I guess they feel free that they can do so, which might make things more interesting then. So maybe that's good. You know what, Mitch? You win. One for one this week. You made the show better today, because we're definitely arguing about it right there. Remember, keep listening to The Fan all day long. We are having Stefanski audio being rolled in right now of him talking with the assembled media at the owners' meetings. They've also had their great big group picture taken. Stefanski, one of the coaches, sitting. Does that have any meaning to you at all? All right. Have a wonderful day, friends. Take care. Hey.
Sounds good.
Cool. I got on the last show.
This is Bomer Esiason.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.